Welcome back to the podcast, you guys. I'm your host, Beth Schild, and today's episode is coming straight from you. I put a question box on Instagram asking what you wanted to hear, and one person asked about parenting techniques, specifically about letting go of control when your kids become adults. And honestly, I'm going to talk about this with teenagers too. When I read this, I felt it so deeply, the importance of this episode. And this is something I'm living right now. I have kids ranging from ages 14 to 20. And my fiance, Randy, has younger kids. He's got 9, 12, and 17. So he has that range of teenagers as well. And we're living this. And it's like having so much compassion too for yourself and navigating parenting. So let's get into it. Let's start here because I think we skipped this part too fast. We jump straight into how to let go without asking why it's so hard to let go of control in the first place. Control can feel like love. That's the honest truth. When you're in it, it doesn't always feel like control. It feels like caring. It feels like being a good parent. You're paying attention. You're involved. You're trying. But underneath control is fear. Fear that if you loosen up your grip, something bad will happen. Fear that their pain means that you failed. Fear that if they make the wrong choice, it reflects on you. And fear that you're going to lose them or lose connection with them. But this is the painful part. The control that you're using to try to keep them close is the very thing that's pushing them away. So with your kids, whether they're young or teenagers or adults, when they feel controlled, they don't feel loved. They feel managed. And when people feel managed, what do? What do they do? You shut down. You stop sharing. You pull back. So they're not going to stop making decisions, but they're going to stop making decisions with you knowing about them. I see this so clearly with teenagers too. The more a parent tightens the grip and tries to control, the more the kid is disconnected. And not because they're a bad kid, but because that's completely natural human response when you're not feeling safe. And emotional safety, and I say this all the time, it is the most important thing for me that I want to provide for my kids. It's kind of like my North Star as a parent. Not perfect behavior, not the right choices, but safety. The feeling of, I can be myself here. I can mess up. I can tell the truth. And you cannot create that in a controlling energy. It's not possible. Control and emotional safety cannot coexist. I want to talk about teenagers specifically for a minute because I have watched this play out so many times and it breaks my heart every time. When you try to control a teenager, who they date, what apps they use, where they go, who they're with, they don't stop doing those things. I mean, some might, but most of them, they just stop doing them in front of you. They do it behind the scenes. They get creative. They find every workaround available to them. Junior high kids downloading Snapchat at school and then deleting it before they get home. Kids leaving their phones at a friend's house so their location doesn't move while they go somewhere that you don't approve of. And listen, kids are smart. And I am talking from experience here. I'm not talking here like a perfect parent where my kids tell me everything and they've never done anything like what I'm saying right now. But they're always going to find a way, always. And here's what that tells me. It's not working. The control isn't keeping them safe. It's keeping them hidden from you. And I see this firsthand in my own life. A lot of my kids' friends open up to me. They tell me things. They come to me when they're going through something hard. And that's such an honor for me. And it's not because I'm a cool mom or I let them do whatever they want or I agree with them. It's because they feel safe with me. They know I'm not going to shame them or freak out or immediately try to fix or control the situation. They know I'm going to listen and I'm going to be in their corner and I'm going to support them in the ways that I can. And it does make me sad because that's what they're looking for from their own parents. That's what every kid is looking for. Kid, teenager, adult. They want to have the life that they want to have, but they don't always feel safe enough to do that openly in their home. I'm not saying no rules. I'm not saying no boundaries or consequences. Those things matter and they're part of parenting, but there's a difference between having standards and values in your home and trying to control every choice your kid makes out of fear. One creates structure, the other creates secrets. And so the question worth asking yourself is, do I want to know what's actually going on in my kid's life? Because if the answer is yes, and if you're here, I'm feeling like it is, then the path there is safety, not surveillance, not tighter controls, safety. Being the parent they're not afraid to be honest with. That's what keeps them close. That's what keeps them coming to you. And that's what keeps them feeling safe. A lot of kids are walking around terrified of disappointing their parents. I know I felt that a lot. And I want to say this with love. If that's true for your kid, you created that. Not intentionally, but it's yours to look at. And here's where it shows up most clearly. When your kid's dream doesn't match the one you had for them. Let's say your kid always wanted to become a doctor. And then one day they come to you and they say they want to be a recording artist. You're allowed to feel whatever you feel about that. The surprise, the worry, the skepticism about making it in the music world. Those feelings are totally valid. But they are yours to manage. They do not need to be projected onto your kid. Because the second you let your disappointment or your doubt become their problem, you've just taught them that your comfort matters more than their dream. And they're going to carry that. And they're going to stay small sometimes. And they're going to stop telling you things. So what do you do instead? You get curious. You ask, how does that feel to you? What lights you up about that? You put your belief into them. You let them feel, maybe for the first time, that you are genuinely in their corner, no matter what direction they go. This is their life, not yours. And our kids can do anything they want to do. The thing that stops people, all of us, not just kids, is the inner critic. The voice that says, who do you think you are? What if you fail? What if it doesn't work out? And where does that voice come from? Early, really early. It gets built in those moments when the people we loved most made us feel like our dreams were too big or too risky or too different. And as I'm saying this, I'm aware I need this for myself too, because I limit myself because of my own doubts. We all do. So this isn't about being a perfect parent. It's about being a conscious one. Let your kid move to Costa Rica and live in a van if that's what's calling them. You might have 100 fears about it. That's okay. And you might be right about all those fears. What your kid needs from you is not your fear. It's your faith in them that they can figure this out. Let them fail. Let it be their choice, because it's their choices made freely and without your judgment hanging over them that build their own self-trust. And along the way, they know they are loved and supported by you no matter what. That's what creates connection. That's what creates emotional safety. Now, and I really want to say this directly, if you're frustrated that your kids don't want to be around you, that they're not opening up to you, that they seem distant or closed off, that is not a them problem. That is the environment you created for them. And I'm not saying that to shame you. I'm saying it because it's the truth. And when we have the truth, that's where change can start. Their nervous system remembers. It remembers years of feeling judged, criticized, or unsupported. You can't just show up differently for a few weeks and expect them to immediately open back up. Their system needs time to learn that it's safe now. So you do the work. You keep showing up differently. You have patience. You don't take their walls personally. You just keep being someone worth opening up to, and that's how you rebuild it one safe moment at a time. I want to share something personal here because I think it illustrates everything I've been talking about. My daughter Brianne came to me wanting to move to Utah a year ago. She wasn't going to a traditional four-year college there. She was planning to do an online life coaching certification program that she could do anywhere, but all her friends were moving up there. She wanted the social experience. She wanted to live independently. She wanted to figure out her own life. And she also got some advice from someone else in her life, someone who loves her, that went something like, why would you do that when you can live at home for free? You should save money first. It's going to be so hard to find a job with so many college students there competing for the same jobs. You're not going to be able to afford it. All of those things could have been true. And I understand where that's coming from. But that's the energy of fear. And here's what that energy does to a kid who is standing on the edge of their own life, working up the courage to jump. It plants doubt. It makes them feel like they can't. It sends them the message that the person who is supposed to believe in them the most doesn't. My response was different. I said, of course you can do this. You're going to find an amazing job. You are so capable. And then taking it a step further, I said, let's manifest this. Let's actually feel what it feels like to already have it. What does it feel like in your body when you imagine yourself there with an amazing job, thriving, figuring it out? Can you feel that? Stay in that feeling. Expand it. That's the frequency you want to operate from. Because here's what I believe and what I teach. We don't just think our way into a new reality. We feel our way there. And when you can help your kid drop into the frequency of belief, of capability, of course this is possible, you are giving them one of the most powerful tools they will ever have. You are teaching them how to hold a vision for themselves, even when the outside world is handing them reasons to doubt. That's a skill. And it starts with you modeling it. It starts with you being the person in their life who says, I see what's possible for you, even when you can't fully see it yet. So she chose to go. And has not been easy. She's learned how to budget. She has navigated hard life lessons. She's had fear about money come in. She's had moments where it was genuinely difficult. And she's figured it out. She got an amazing job. She's building the life that she wants to there. She's gaining her independence. And she did exactly what she said she was going to do. And I think about what would have happened if the only voice she heard was the one telling her all the reasons why it wouldn't work. Maybe she still would have gone. Maybe she wouldn't have. But I know this, she would have carried that doubt with her either way. The energy you put into your kids' dreams matters. It lives in them. The frequency you hold when they share something tender and brave with you, they feel that, they absorb it. So you just have to decide if you want to be one that's transmitting it and giving them that belief. You want to decide if you want to teach them that they're capable, that life's working for them, that the universe wants to give everything to them that they want, and that they can have anything they want. Because if they learn it from you, they will carry it everywhere. And here's the other thing I want to say. What if it hadn't worked out? What if my daughter had moved up there and it was too hard and she didn't like it and she had to come home? Well, that would have been part of her human experience. That's it. She wouldn't have made a mistake. It's not the end of the world. She's young. She's figuring out who she is and what she's made of. And sometimes you figure that out by trying something that doesn't work. And those are her lessons to learn. That's her life to live. We have to get okay with our kids not always getting what they want. With them going through hard things, with them being uncomfortable, with them struggling. Because struggling doesn't have to mean failing. It's growing. And the trust I'm talking about is two-layered. It's trusting that they are going to be okay and figure it out. And it's trusting yourself that you are going to be okay watching them go through it. Both matter. Both are work. And both are worth doing. Are you enjoying this episode? I hope so. If you're finding this content helpful and want to learn how to implement these tools, teachings, and practices into your daily life, with the support of a safe community, I really want to invite you to check out the Shift membership. This is a monthly membership subscription that includes a monthly hot seat coaching call with me personally, where you can connect with me live on Zoom and ask questions to get support. We also do one monthly live breathwork session for the community, so you can experience all this work together. If you're curious and want to learn more, be sure to check out the link in the description of this episode or by going to shiftwithbeth.com/membership. All right, let's get back to this episode. Hey, I want to talk about something specific, mostly about adult kids, but older teenage kids too. And here's what I want you to really hear. They already know what you think. Trust me. They already know your values, your opinions, your concerns. You have been their parent their entire life. It's in them. You don't have to keep saying the same thing over and over. And yet, how many of us keep saying it? Keep bringing it up, keep finding a new angle to make sure that the point lands. And I'll be honest, I've caught myself doing this. That one more conversation that I just want you to understand where I'm coming from. And what I've had to learn and keep learning is that more words don't create more clarity. They create more distance. What your adult child actually needs from you at this stage is support and love, not direction, not a reminder of what you would do, not another conversation about the concern you've already expressed, just, I'm here. How can I support you? I love you. That's it. That's the whole job now with adult kids. And I know that can feel so hard, like you're supposed to just sit on your hands now while they navigate something hard, while you're seeing them make a decision that you think might not be the right one for them. But what you're actually doing is giving them one of the most profound gifts a parent can offer, the experience of being trusted fully by the person whose opinion does matter to them. When your adult child knows they can come to you without getting a lecture, without you making it about what they should have done differently, without having to brace for the look on your face, they will come to you. They will keep coming to you. That's connection. That's the relationship you actually want. So if you've been holding on to something, some concerns, some opinions, some, I just need them to hear this one thing, ask yourself, have I already said this? Have they already heard it? And if the answer is yes, could you think about letting it go? Remembering that, okay, my job now is just to love them, show up for them, be a place where they can land when things get hard because they know what you think. Now you just get to show them who you are. So here's the reframe I really want you to sit with. When you can't stop controlling your kids' decisions, it looks like you don't trust them. But underneath that, it's actually that you don't trust yourself. You don't trust that you'll be able to handle whatever they decide. You don't trust that you can sit with the discomfort of watching them struggle. And if you're really honest, you don't trust that you'll be okay if they make a decision that maybe makes you look bad as a parent. That's the part nobody talks about. The fear of what their choices say about you. And I do want to say it with so much compassion because I've been here. It's not a parenting problem. It's a self-trust problem. That's your work, building trust in yourself, trusting your own capacity to handle hard things, trusting that your worth as a parent is not determined by every decision your kid makes. If you want to go deeper on self-trust, I have a whole podcast episode on that. It's the foundation of everything we're talking about today. And this is something I feel so strongly about. When you let your kids make decisions, and I mean really let them, what comes with that is the full experience, the good outcomes and the hard ones. And those hard outcomes, the natural consequences, that's where the real learning lives. Not in your lecture afterward, not in the I told you so moment. In their experience of navigating something that didn't go the way they hoped. That's where they build resilience. That's where they learn to trust themselves. That's when they learn how to make a pivot. That's where they develop the very skills you've been trying to give them all along. You can't hand your kids self-trust. Can't do it for them. They have to earn it through their own experience. And they can only do that if you get out of the way. I want to ask you something, and I want you to actually sit with it. So let's just slow down for a second. Take a breath. What do you wish you had as a teenager or as a young adult? Do you wish someone had believed in you more, trusted you more, given you room to figure things out without judgment? Did you wish you had a parent you could actually talk to? Not because they had all the answers, but because they made you feel safe enough to be honest? Do you wish someone had let you struggle a little so you could discover what you were actually capable of? Do you wish you had more support and love from your parent? Whatever your answer is, that's what you can give your kids. That's the gift. Not perfection, not protection from every hard thing. The thing you actually needed that maybe you didn't get. You have the chance to break the pattern right now in how you show up today. Now, I want to name something for those of you who are nodding along, but also thinking, Beth, this sounds really great, but I literally cannot stop myself from controlling. That urge to control isn't a flaw in you. It's a nervous system response. When your kid struggles or makes a choice you disagree with, your body responds like there's a threat. Your system doesn't know the difference between your toddler running into traffic and your teenager making a decision you think is a mistake. The alarm fires the same way in the body. So when you feel that pull to step in, to fix it, to say something, pause. Ask yourself, is this an actual emergency? Or is this my discomfort looking for somewhere to go? Discomfort is not an emergency. It just feels like one. And if you're not used to sitting in it, then this is going to be a challenge, but that's okay. Learning to sit with that discomfort without acting on it is one of the most important work we can do as parents. Okay, we're going to get practical for a second because I know some of you are thinking, okay, but what do I actually do in the moment when every part of me wants to step in? Here's what it looks like in your body first. You're going to feel it as a tightness, maybe in your chest or your throat or your stomach. There might be this like rising urgency, like if you don't say something right now, something bad is going to happen. And that's your nervous system. That's not truth. It's activation. So the first thing to do is notice it. Just name it internally. There it is. I'm activated. You don't have to fix it or push it away. Just acknowledge it's there. Then you breathe. Slow in, slow out. A longer exhale if you can. A long exhale signals to your nervous system that you're safe. It literally starts to bring you out of that fight or flight response. Then find something you can anchor to. Feel your feet on the floor. Feel the weight of your body in your chair, the support underneath you. And then if you can, look around the room, orient, notice 5 things that you can see. Slow it down. This is you bringing yourself back to the present moment, out of that fear spiral and into right now. And then you remind yourself of the why. Not, I have to let this go. That feels like loss. Instead, I want connection with my kid. I want them to feel safe with me. I'm choosing that right now over the urge to control. It's a self-talk dialogue that takes practice, but you're not giving something up. You're choosing something better. It's not going to be perfect. You might still say the thing sometimes, and that's okay. Have grace, have compassion, notice it. You can repair it, and then you keep going. Another thing I want to name, because I think it drives so much controlling behavior without parents even realizing it. We live in a world that's constantly telling us what our kids should be doing, what timeline they should be on, what success looks like. And when your kid is not hitting those markers, when their friends are all going to 4-year universities or they have scholarships or they know exactly what they're doing, and say your kid wants to take a gap year or not go to college at all, or everyone else seems to have a plan and your kid is still figuring it out, that external pressure can feel really uncomfortable. But whose timeline are we actually talking about? Societies? Other parents? Your own parents' voice in your head telling you what success looks like? The most alive, fulfilled, connected adults I know did not all follow the same path. They followed their path. And a lot of them had to do it in spite of the voices telling them that they were doing it wrong. What if your kid isn't behind? What if they're not failing? They're just on their own timeline and their own journey. And it doesn't have to look like anyone else's. And when you can release that comparison, release the fear of what other people think about your kid, you will find so much more peace and your kid will feel so much more free. So let other people worry about what things look like. You focus on how things feel in your relationship, in your home, and the connection between you and your kid. That's what matters. That's what lasts. So here's some things you can do to actually practice. Ask before advising. Do you want my advice or do you just need me to listen? I would say 95% of the time when I ask my kids this, they want me to listen. And that's not always what I want, right? I want to tell them all the advice. I want to tell them what to do, but I just have to pause. And then the 5% of the time when they do want my advice, I'm so excited to share it with them, but it's because they want it. Separating your feelings from their experience. So if you have anxiety about their choices, that's yours to work through. If you're disappointed, that's yours to feel. Letting consequences do the teaching, not you. Trust the process, trust them. Step back and let life be the teacher sometimes. It's better. It's better that life teaches them. And trying to stay connected without controlling. You can be present without being in charge. Check in without interrogating. Be interested without controlling. Protect the relationship above everything else. And then, of course, it's do your own work. if you genuinely cannot tolerate your kid being uncomfortable or making mistakes, that's yours to look at. What does it activate in you? What are you making it mean about you, about your kid? That's the real work. So I'm not saying that you're never going to weigh in, share your perspective, like give advice. That's not what I'm saying. You are older. You are wiser. You have lived things your kids haven't lived yet. That experience has value, and your kids actually do want access to it when they ask for it. So I'm not saying never give advice. I'm saying don't shoot your kid down when they come to you with an idea. Don't lead with your doubt or your fear or your, have you really thought this through? Instead, get curious first. Again, asking them, do you want my advice? Do you want to talk through the pros and cons together? And if they say yes, great. Have that conversation. Bring your wisdom. But if they say no or not right now, the urge you feel to give it to them anyway, please try to sit with it. Because that's the work of creating safety. Because acting on the urge or overriding their no or giving them advice they didn't ask for, that's the thing that's going to create the disconnect. It's going to push them away every single time. The goal is to be someone your kid actually wants to talk to. And that starts with respecting what they're asking for in the moment, asking what they need. Okay, I want to talk to the parent who's listening and really feeling the weight of all this, the one who's thinking, I've done this their whole life. I've been the controlling parent. I've been the one who couldn't hold back the opinion, who judged them, who prioritized being right over being safe. And now the relationship feels distant and I don't know how to get back there. I just want to tell you, it's never too late. Repair is one of the most powerful things you can do in any relationship. And with your kids, it might be the most powerful thing you ever do. Because when a parent can look at their child and say, I've been showing up in a way that hasn't served you and I want to do it differently, that accountability, that lands, that matters. It's, I truly believe, the most courageous thing a parent can do. And you don't need a big speech. You don't need to rehash every moment or overexplain yourself or apologize for every single thing. It can be simple. It can sound like, I've been thinking a lot about how I was as a parent for you, and I realize I haven't always made it easy for you to come to me. I've given you so many opinions, I've judged you, and I want you to know that I'm working on that. And I want you to know that I'm sorry. And I want you to know that I'm going to do the work to show up differently. And I hope that that can create more connection and for us and more safety for you. Something like that. Your own words. But you just need to open the door. And then you back all of this up by changing your actions and behaviors. And their nervous system will take time to trust it. And that's okay. Just keep going. One safe moment at a time. The relationship doesn't have to be broken. It's just waiting for you to show up differently. And you can start doing that today. So anyone who's in this right now, like your kid isn't calling, your adult kids don't want to hang out with you, you don't feel connected, or there's tension every time you're in the same room, or you can feel them pulling away and you don't know how to stop it. First, you're not a bad parent for being here. You're a human being who's doing the best they could with what you had. And now you know more, and now you get to do something different. And second, and this is important, don't force it or chase it or try to control more safety. You can't do that. I know the instinct when you feel someone pulling away is to hold on tighter sometimes, to call more, to push for the conversation, to maybe put guilt on them because they're not talking to you as much as you want, trying to demand closeness that you're missing. But with kids, chasing tends to push them further. What draws them back is safety and just honoring what feels good to them, consistency. So instead of focusing on the relationship, focus on yourself. Do your own work. Work on regulating your own nervous system. Heal the parts of you that made it hard to show up the way you wanted to. Because as you shift, the dynamic shifts. And it doesn't mean it's going to happen overnight, but I believe over time, it will happen. And in the meantime, show up in the small moments. A text that asks nothing. A meal with no agenda, showing genuine interest in something they care about without making it a teaching moment. Small, safe, consistent moments of just being there for them with no strings attached. That's how you rebuild it. slowly, steadily becoming a safe place. And again, it's not too late. It's never too late. You just have to be willing, have the desire to start. So I want to leave you with something before we close, because I don't want this episode to feel like a list of things you're doing wrong. I want you to feel what's available to you on the other side of this work. Letting go is not just good for your kids. It's freeing for you. When you stop carrying the weight of your kids' decisions, when you stop gripping and worrying about how they're going to turn out, stop comparing them to other kids, stop making their journey mean something about you, your worth as a parent, you get to put that weight down, and it is the most incredible feeling. You just get to love them right where they are. Not who you need them to be, not the version of them that would make you feel like you did it right, just them as they are right now. That's it. That's the whole job, to love them and be there. Doesn't that feel easy? And when you're living in that energy, not controlling, not managing, there's just so much more room and spaciousness, room for real conversations, maybe some vulnerability that has never been there before. Room for genuine connection, room for joy in the relationship, instead of this constant low-grade anxiety about whether they're going to be okay. Their life is theirs. And honestly, that is the best feeling. Not because you don't care. You care more than anything. But because you trust them and you trust yourself, and you know that love doesn't require control. It never did. That's the freedom, my friends. Our kids are always watching us. Not what we say, but who we are, how we are. And when you can become someone who trusts them, who gives them room, who stays regulated even when things get hard, that's what they can carry forward. The relationship is everything, and the relationship is built in the moment you choose connection over control. So whatever your kids need from you, teenager, young adult, wherever they are, ask yourself, what did I wish I had? And then do that. Be that. And also ask your kids, what do you need? How can I support you? Okay, super passionate about this topic. Thank you to the listener who asked for an episode on this. If you guys want to hear an episode on anything, please come over to Instagram, send me a DM. I would love to create more that specifically supports you guys. And of course, I follow my intuition and what I feel called to share, but it's also a big part of this is you guys. And my purpose is just to help others to come back home to themselves, to heal, to show up for themselves, to live a life of authenticity and freedom and not having to carry so much all the time. So thank you for being here. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast, please do so. If it feels aligned for you, leave a 5-star review. It really does help the podcast reach more people. And I'll see you all in the next episode.